This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بكت عيني بكت عيني بكت عيني على ذنبي وما لاقيت من كربي فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Dear Muslims, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our father Adam alayhi salam, there were creations before him, and one of these creations was the entity known as Iblis. And Iblis, from the beginning of time, as soon as he saw Adam, developed a feeling of jealousy, an extreme irrational hatred, a feeling of such evil that Iblis declared right then and there that he shall be an eternal enemy, not only to Adam, but to the wife of Adam and to the future children of Adam. The level of depravity, the level of irrational anger that Iblis had is something that is unparalleled in the creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against Iblis from the very beginning of time. As soon as Iblis rebelled against our father Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his story, and Allah says that Iblis said, رَأَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيَّ. Iblis is challenging Allah. And Iblis said, do you see this being whom you preferred over me? Iblis is jealous. This being whom you preferred over me, لَإِنْ أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. If you allow me to live until the day of judgment, then I shall misguide every one of his progeny. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that this was the story of Iblis from the beginning of time. Iblis also challenged Allah and blamed Allah for his arrogance. Iblis says, قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. My Lord, because you have deceived me. Iblis blamed Allah. That's his arrogance. It's not only angry at us, he's angry at Allah, blaming Allah. رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Ya Rabb, because you deceived me. Iblis says, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will sit waiting for them as they're coming down the straight path. His level of hatred, he is literally waiting for the rightly guided. He's waiting for the pious and righteous. He is waiting in anticipation to trap us. Then, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ. I will attack them from the front, وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ, and from the right, وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ, and from the left, وَلَا تَجْدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. And oh Allah, from now I'm telling you, I'm going to be so successful that the majority of this new creation, they will not be thankful to you. And Allah Azza wa Jal warned our mother and father, as soon as they entered Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them with Jannah. Allah says to Adam, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. And as soon as they entered Jannah, Allah says to them, but be careful. Be careful, O Adam. إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ. This being over here, pointing him out, this being is your enemy and the enemy of your wife, Hawa. The Quran tells us Adam was warned, Hawa was warned. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Adam down, he also warned Adam at that point in time that, oh Adam, the two of you are going to be fitnas to each other. Oh Adam, be careful, warn your children of this entity. Warn your children to not follow this one who misguided you, this one who caused your fall. And Allah sent prophet after prophet to warn us about the dangers of Iblis. Allah sends prophet after prophet, and on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will remind mankind Allah will say to mankind, O children of Adam, didn't I tell you, O children of Adam, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ Didn't I tell you not to worship shaitan? Didn't I tell you he is your clear enemy to you? Notice, at every stage of the creation, at every footstep of the beginning of time, Allah Azza wa Jal is warning Adam and the children of Adam about the dangers of Iblis. So in today's brief khutbah, let us talk a little bit about this reality, this entity known as Iblis. Iblis is, of course, his name. Shaytan is a description. Shaytan is his adjective. And it means the one who is obstinate, the one who is rebellious, the one who misguides. Everybody who turns you away from the path of Allah is a shaytan. There is one Iblis. There are many shaytans. Iblis is the proper name of the leader of the shaytans. Shaytans belong to jinn. Shaytans belong to ins. Shaytan is anybody who's trying to take you away from the path. And the leader of those who want to take you away is Iblis. So the first question that arises, that we ask ourselves in, is what is the wisdom in the creation of Iblis? You know, many times our young son or daughter comes to us and says, Father, mother, abati, why did Allah create this evil being called shaitan? Why did Allah create Iblis? I mean, forget children, sometimes we ask, why would Allah create Iblis? And the response to this is actually not simple to say, but we can respond preliminarily by stating the premise of this question is the assumption that Allah should create us and put us into Jannah immediately. There should be no evil, no pain, no suffering. We want to have ultimate peace immediately. And we say, but no, that's not this dunya. That's the next life. And we shall get that peace where there is no Iblis. We shall get that place of no pain, no evil, no suffering. But we have to earn it. We have to walk through this life avoiding the temptations of Iblis. The presumption that there should be no evil only comes from the mind of the one who thinks he's entitled. Since Allah created me, this world should be perfect. But we say it is perfect for our time and place. And it is a stepping stone to the real perfection of the next. So there must be an element of Allah knows. We might not fully understand. And that's why even the angels ask, why would you do this, O Allah? And Allah says, I know what you do not know. So we begin by stating we must resign the wisdom of the creation of Iblis ultimately to Allah. But we can find some consolation in some aspects. And Ibn al-Qayyim, for example, in his famous book, Ighathat al-Lahafan, he actually has 25 pages dedicated to the question of why would Allah create Iblis? And he has wisdoms that are very profound. You will find some translations of this document in English somewhere on online. But I'll summarize some of these points. Ibn al-Qayyim says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires the purity of His followers. Allah desires the iman and taqwa, the isti'ada, the tawakkul, the inaba. Allah desires the piety of the righteous. And that piety shall only be manifested by fighting against Iblis. There must be an Iblis that manifests the piety of the righteous people. And so, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed this evil entity to exist, it is not because He likes the evil. It is because He loves the piety that comes in combating the evil. The righteousness that comes in overcoming that evil. Also of the wisdoms is that Allah azza wa jal personified evil. Can you imagine if evil were some type of cosmic force? If evil were not an actual created entity, what would we do then? But we have evil personified in one being, one entity. And we thank Allah for this because we can now feel a sense of consolation knowing that evil is manifested in one makhluq. And this makhluq is not all powerful. This makhluq is not God. This makhluq is a creation of Allah. And so evil can be conquered when we turn to the one who created this entity. So we thank Allah that evil can be personified in one being. We know that being. We have been told to take precautions against that being. Also of the wisdoms is a lesson for all of us in the story of our father Adam alayhi salam. Iblis is no stranger to humanity. Imagine if we had somebody who showed no enmity to us, no harm to us. We would say, how can we be scared of this entity? Why should we hate this entity? But Allah Azza wa Jalla in His wisdom allowed the same entity to be the cause of the downfall of our mother and father. The same entity to do what He did to Adam and Hawa. The same entity to continue to fight every single prophet. And so when we have one particular entity whom history has shown has caused so much damage, then how can we not take precautions? How can we not feel a sense of genuine anger at this entity and turn to Allah to protect ourselves from this entity? Also of the wisdoms of the creation of this evil known as Iblis is that we see the diversity of the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. He creates the best of the best and He creates other than this. He creates Jibra'il and Mika'il and He creates Iblis and the jinn. He creates the prophets and He creates Fir'aun and Abu Lahab and all the rest of them. So Allah Azza wa Jal's Qudra is manifested. Allah's power is manifested. And in this we are in awe at the magnificence of the Creator. Of the wisdoms of the creation of this entity is that we can truly appreciate good only by contrasting it with evil. We can appreciate beauty when we see what exactly is ugly. We can appreciate the brightness of the day only after the darkness of the night. So by having these contrasts and by knowing how evil an entity can be, because in the end of the day, the evil of Iblis is completely irrational. He gains nothing by misguiding us. He's going to Jahannam anyway. He gains nothing by causing us harm. What an irrational evil is this? And we have done nothing to him such that he's an enemy to us. But when that evil is there, so then we are able to understand that there's a particular being, a makhluq of Allah, who harbors so much evil that we have to take our precautions. We have to be careful, and this helps us be more righteous. Of the wisdoms as well, and this is a very profound point, brothers and sisters, pay attention to this. Of the wisdoms of the creation of this entity known as Iblis is that it is actually therapeutic for our own salvation. It is therapeutic for our own betterment. There is a psychological wisdom in having the embodiment, the personification of evil. How so? Because, you know, when you want to overcome a personal problem, when you have committed a major mistake, a major crime, you know, in this environment and complex, the psychologists say you can't continue to blame yourself for a past mistake. You have to let go and move on, right? In our case, we don't have to just let go. We can easily and factually and correctly blame Iblis for a sin that we have done. And it is correct, Iblis was the one who misguided us, who gave us waswasa, and use that blame in order to make ourselves empowered to move on to live better lives. Now I have to be clear here. We do not blame Iblis in a court of law. We cannot blame Iblis on the day of judgment. It's not going to work. But we can blame Iblis in our personal journey to Allah. In our reflections of our own past, and we think about what we've done, and we say, Astaghfirullah, that wasn't me. I'm better than that. I shouldn't have done that because that wasn't coming from me. That was from Iblis and the whisperings of Iblis. And if I can cut off Iblis, I can eliminate Iblis, then I am a better person with the help of Allah. And that is factually true. That is factually true. When we have an entity that we can legitimately blame for our own shortcomings of the past, again, this is not a justification of the current. It is not an excuse of the future. Iblis is not going to be able to be blamed on the day of judgment. Doesn't work that way. But in this dunya, in our journey to Allah, we are not only allowed to, the Quran and Sunnah shows us, we blame Iblis, listen to me carefully, for a past mistake or sin in order to rectify ourselves, in order to overcome and be better people. When Musa accidentally asked Khidr that question, Musa made the condition, Khidr made the condition, don't ask me anything. And Musa asked, the first time he asked, he said, don't blame me, shaitan caused me to forget. وَمَا أَنْسَانِيُهُ لَشَيْطَانِ. This is Yusha and Musa, the story of Yusha and Khidr and Musa. Don't blame me, shaitan caused me to forget. When Yusuf and his brothers had a fight, and his brothers did what they did, Yusuf being the wise prophet, how did he recover? How did he bring about unity? He said, Shaytan caused you all to do this. It wasn't from you. مِن بَعْدِ أَنَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. Now question, who threw Yusuf in the well? The brothers or Shaytan? Well, it was the brothers, but who whispered it to them? Who زين لهم الشيطان? Who beautified it? Clearly it was Shaytan. Now that Yusuf wants to mend the hearts, now that we need to move forward, we can bring in this third party called Iblis. We can say, that's not you. You're better than that. That was Iblis. And you're correct. You're factually correct. When you blame Iblis, this is passing the responsibility of a past sin. You still have to make them in the eyes of Allah in order that you rectify yourself. And what a beautiful, amazing psychological blessing. You are better than this, brothers and sisters. Wallahi, you're better than this. Something happened in the past that is shameful. You committed a sin that really causes you pain. Well, it's good it causes you pain. It's good it causes you shame. But guess what? You need to stop just blaming yourself and realize, yes, Iblis was involved. And you can be better. And your addiction, that's coming from Iblis. That evil that you did, that harsh statement that you said, the physical pain that you caused, the stealing that you did, the sharab, the khamar, everything that you did, it was Iblis's fault. Now be better. Cut him out of your life. Stand up and be a worshipper of Allah. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and blame that evil. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Blame him because you are a better person. This is a beautiful wisdom in the creation and in the manifestation of this entity. Because لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah created us good. Allah created us high up. And then shaitan waswas and shaitan misguides. So we get rid of shaitan and we come back to the أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. And many other wisdoms can be mentioned as well. The next point of our khutbah, what are some of the tactics of shaitan? What are some of the ways that he uses to cause us to commit a mistake? Well, the first of them is the gentlest one. And because it is so gentle, Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven it if Iblis is successful. And that is the way of forgetfulness. The way of causing us to not remember something. And I quoted you the story of Yusha and Musa. When Yusha forgot to take the fish out at the right time, right? When Yusha forgot the sign, excuse me. Then he says, look, وَمَا أَنْسَانِهُ لَلشَّيْطَانُ وَنَذْكُرَ. Shaytan caused me to forget. And at times, shaytan causes you to oversleep fajr. And at times, shaytan causes you to do things you don't intend to do them. Well, if it's accidental, if you really forgot, then Allah forgives you. You just make it up in your personal life. There's no sin on you. But this is of the tactics of shaitan. You're supposed to pray dhuhr. You look at the time and say, oh, 2 hours left, inshallah, I'll pray. Then shaitan comes. Check this email. Do this, do that. Next thing you know, it's out of time. It's asr time. Astaghfirullah, I missed it. If you genuinely had the intention, this is a tactic of shaitan. Blame shaitan. Say, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Take precautions for next time and then move on. But this is of the tactics of Iblis. Of the tactics of Iblis, is to catch you at a point of weakness. To see, monitor. Maybe you metaphorically put your foot on a slippery slope. And perhaps it would have been good enough if you did it. But Iblis knows it's a slippery slope. And right when it was a slippery slope, he pushed you a little bit more. Of course, I'm being metaphorical here. You were in a situation of weakness. And if you were on your own, you would have overcome that weakness. But Iblis comes. And Iblis pushes you, metaphorically. Iblis causes you to slip. Allah says in the Quran about the battle of Uhud and about the fact that some of the companions withdrew when they should not have withdrawn. Allah says, إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan caused them to slip. Slip, meaning they put their foot on a place they shouldn't have. But if shaitan were not there, it would have been good enough, they would have moved on. But shaitan saw a weakness. A moment where you let your guards down a little bit, just a little bit. You could have overcome, but shaitan monitored. Shaitan saw, and all of a sudden, he pushed you more. This is istazalla. This is zalla. This is a mistake that is a one-off. Well, you learn from the mistake, and you move on. The third tactic, which is the most common tactic of shaitan, is waswasa. And waswasa means to whisper into our soul, to give us ideas and thoughts that we would not otherwise have. Waswasa here means he will literally implant ideas that we would otherwise not have. Every one of us, sometimes we think of something and we say, Astaghfirullah, where did that idea come from? Where did this evil thought come from? And it is not from us. It is shaitan putting ideas into our heads. Shaitan has the capacity. Shaitan has the physical capability of whispering into our soul. Just like humans can whisper into the ear, shaitan can whisper into the soul. Shaitan cannot read your mind, by the way. Shaitan cannot read your mind. But shaitan can see you're alone and you have the opportunity to steal some money. Waswasa. You're alone and there might be a non-mahram. Waswasa. You're alone or whatever it might be. This is waswasa. He will give something in your mind and head, or will entice you, keep on putting something. Why don't you do this, until it becomes something constant in you. This is one of the tactics of shaitan. The fourth tactic of shaitan is zakhrafa, to make something more alluring than it actually is. And he employed this tactic with our father Adam. It was a normal tree, a normal whatever, apple, whatever it was, we don't know what it was, something it was there. And shaitan added some free deals, complete lies. If you eat of this tree, you will get eternal life. If you eat of this tree, no pain and suffering. No doubt it was a sweet fruit, it's from Jannah. But this added lies, this beautification, this blatant false marketing, this is shaitan. And shaitan always markets falsely. All of his marketing is blatant lies. All of his marketing is blatant lies. He will come and make something more alluring or more tempting than it actually is. Or maybe even it's not even tempting at all, but he will make you think it is tempting. And this is called zayyana or zakhrafa, to make it more beautiful than it actually is. And this is something we find it in the hadith that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that when a person of the opposite gender leaves the house, shaitan makes that person look more beautiful than that person actually is. You think that person is more beautiful than that actually is, and you start feeling waswasa. And that's why our Prophet ﷺ said, subhanallah, if you feel something about somebody you shouldn't feel, then go to your spouse, go to your halal partner, because in reality, what the other person has, your other partner has as well. It's just shaitan making you think, oh, this one is 10 times more beautiful or 10 times more handsome, whereas in reality this is from the waswasa and the zakhrafa of shaitan. So we learn this is a tactic of shaitan. Don't buy the false promises of shaitan. Don't fall prey to the marketing of shaitan. Shaitan is a liar. He does nothing but lie. He has been lying since the creation of Adam up until our times. So when you see the forbidden fruit, when you see that which is haram, and shaitan comes and makes you feel, oh, this is this and that, realize this is the lies of shaitan. It's not that tempting. It's not that sweet. It's not that beautiful. In reality, this is the zakhrafa of shaitan. Of the tactics of shaitan is to make you feel scared of something. Takhweef. Of the tactics of shaitan is to make you feel scared of something. And the Quran mentions this, that innama dhalikum ash-shaytanu yukhawwifu awliya'ah. This is shaitan making his allies and followers feel scared. Don't fear them, only fear me. And of the classic examples is the Quran, the hadith mentions this. When we want to give charity, shaitan will come and say, don't be a fool. Your family needs you. If you give charity, you will be poor. Don't be a fool. You're going to become poor when you're generous to others. This is a scare tactic. And of course, we are told to be moderate in our giving. We are not giving everything, but neither are we supposed to be stingy. And shaitan comes and doesn't want us to give anything. And this is something very explicit in the Quran, that shaitan ya'idukum al-faqr. Shaitan threatens you, you're going to be poor. Shaitan makes you scared, you're going to be poor, don't give to charity. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and I am promising you, it's not a threat, I am promising you, you shall be, mashallah, aghniya, meaning you will have the wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will have the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is of the tactics of shaitan. Of the tactics of shaitan as well, and this is of the most evil tactics, is that he causes certain people to speak without knowledge and to misguide others. It's one thing to be misguided yourself, but there are people whose profession is to misguide others. They are shayateen in human form. This hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that there are people calling to Jahannam, shayateen fi surat al-ins. They are shayateen in human form. Meaning, as we said, shaitan is any entity that is misguiding you from the true path. And there are shaitans of the jinn, and they are shaitan of the ins. Anyone who is calling you to disobey Allah, Anyone who is trying to get you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a type of shaitan. And shaitan has allies, he has representatives, he has salesperson for his merchandise amongst us. And these salespeople, they tell you to embrace evil, they tell you to give up religiosity, they make fun of religiosity, they say if you are religious, you are backward, if you pray, you're going to give up your career, etc., etc. And these are people, sometimes you are mesmerized by their speech, sometimes you think they are the most intelligent, but you cannot be intelligent if you don't know the purpose of your life. You are not wise if you haven't figured out what you're doing on this earth. Doesn't matter what degrees you have and how much income you have, if you don't know the purpose of your life, then all of your wealth is meaningless. So be careful and don't fall prey to the whisperings of the human shayateen, the whisperings of those who are making many problems of our times, whatever philosophies that might be there, whatever ways of opposing Islam might be there, they're trying to beautify it and sell it to you. This is of the tactics of shaitan. And the final point we'll mention, and as usual, all of our khutbas are short, they cannot go into all the detail, these are short lists. The final point we'll mention, which is so pertinent to our communities, of the explicit tactics of shaitan, is to disunite the ummah and to cause friction between brothers and cousins, between people of one family, between people of one community, between people of the kalima. This is explicitly mentioned in the Quran. Inna shaytana yanzaghu baynahum. Shaytan causes disharmony between them. What did shaytan do with Yusuf and his brothers? Min ba'di an nazagha shaytanu bayni wa bayni ikhwati. Shaytan caused me and my brothers to fall into this fight. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that shaytan wants you to gamble and shaytan wants you to drink. Why? Why does shaytan want you to do this? Innama yuridu shaytanu an yuqa'a baynakum al-adawatu wal-baghda. Shaytan wants you to fight and get into problems when you are drinking, when you're gambling. Shaytan wants to break up the ummah. So anytime you see a breakup happening, anytime you see that you're falling out from a friend, from a family member, that a community is breaking apart, realize shaitan is getting happy. We know from the hadith as well, shaitan loves to break up a couple that's married. This is one of the biggest tactics of shaitan. He wants to cause divorce. Shaitan loves to break people up, whether they're couples, whether they're families, whether they're communities. And this is one of the worst and most evil tactics of shaitan. We have to be on our guard against them, brothers and sisters, and be aware of the tactics in order to combat shaitan. Inshallah, in the second part of the khutbah, we'll talk about some of the ways we can protect ourselves from the evil tactics of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran, and may He make us of those who His verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness, you as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. We talked about the tactics of shaitan and we talked about why there are some wisdoms in the existence of shaitan. But we now need to move on to a very practical point. How do we protect ourselves against this entity? What are the most effective mechanisms to fortify ourselves against this evil entity? We'll mention 6 or 7 points. Number one, of the ways to protect ourselves against shaitan is to have a purity of intention to want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you desire to please Allah and you don't care about the fame and the praise of mankind, you have erected one of the most powerful fortresses against you and shaitan. If you don't desire fame, fortune, money, if you want the rida of Allah, you want the pleasure of Allah, then automatically you have weakened the forces of shaitan. In fact, shaitan himself told us, it's in the Quran, shaitan himself told us, you shall not find most of them thankful, I shall misguide most of them. Then shaitan made one exception. Illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlisin. Illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlisin fi qira'ah. That except for your servants who have ikhlas, I will not be able to touch them. Subhanallah, shaitan tells us, he's telling Allah, and Allah's telling us. He told Allah, you have one category, I will not be able to reach them, O Allah. Who is that category? Mukhlis. You have to have ikhlas, what you do for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the people. That's the number one mechanism. Number two of the ways we protect ourselves is overall the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is of the most powerful antidotes and mechanisms to protect ourselves against shaitan. All types of dhikr. Of them is the Quran, which is the greatest dhikr. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that shaitan does not come inside a house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. Brothers, why aren't you reciting Surah Baqarah in your house? Shaitan will not come inside that house. I'm not saying you have to recite all in one day. Every day, 2, 3, 4 pages, so that there's a continual recitation. Shaitan will not enter the house where Baqarah is being recited. How can we not? You know, we have alarms in our houses. We have the ADT sticker. We have this and that. Wallahi, don't we need protection of shaitan more important than protection from entities of mankind? Recite the Quran in your house and the angels will fortify it. Of them is the adhan. When we give the adhan, shaitan runs away, flees when he hears the adhan. Shaitan cannot bear to hear the adhan. So imagine your child is giving the adhan every day in the house. Imagine you're just praying your salah, come together for dhuhr children, come together for maghrib, and they give the adhan, the iqamah, shaitan will run away. Of them is the isti'adha, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah says in the Quran, if you feel anything shaitanic, if you feel shaitan whispering into you, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah hears and Allah knows and Allah sees. Anytime you start thinking of an evil, anytime you feel inclined to go on the wrong path, say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Because that inclination, it's not coming from you, it's coming from shaitan. We talked about this. You are better than this, brother and sister. You don't have to go down this path. It's not you, it's shaitan. But in order to overcome shaitan, you have to go to the Lord of the heavens and earth. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Of them is to say bismillah of the adhkar, to say bismillah frequently, constantly. When we say bismillah when we enter the house, shaitan will not come there. When we say bismillah before we eat, shaitan cannot eat. When we say bismillah before we change our clothes, shaitan cannot see us. Even before being intimate with our spouse, we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan will be eliminated. Constantly say bismillah before we do any deed. And all types of adhkar will protect us from shaitan. Of the ways that we protect ourselves from shaitan as well, is overall piety, overall taqwa, just extra ibadah, extra tahajjud, extra salah, extra sadaqah, extra siyam. Overall, the more we are pious and righteous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the more the barrier will be between us and shaitan. In fact, our Prophet called the dhikr of Allah, the worship of Allah, he said that it is like a hisnun haseen. It is a protected fortress between you and shaitan. Protected fortress. All of the rituals that you do, the ibadah that you do, they will be a barrier between you and shaitan. And so, brothers and sisters, just like shaitan can attack two people with the same ferocity, one of them has a wall of protection and the other doesn't. Who shaitan gonna harm more? Who's shaitan gonna harm more? The one who doesn't have the wall of protection. We build that wall of protection by all of these good deeds. And the final point that we'll mention, and of course this is a partial list as always, the final point that we'll mention is a very important one. And of the tactics of shaitan, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, stick with the community of believers, for shaitan can attack the solitary Muslim, the solitary person, and he is farther away from attacking two people and even farther from attacking three. Stick with the group of righteous people. Don't break away. Be a part of your community. Pray regularly in the masjid. Attend the halaqat. Have pious friends around you and be amongst the company of the righteous, and automatically you're going to build defense mechanisms against shaitan. But if you're cut off from a Muslim community, if you don't have righteous friends, our Prophet literally said, for shaitan is more capable of attacking the solitary person. Just like the wolf can attack the solitary sheep, and the sheep that are all together, the wolf cannot attack them. So too, the righteous Muslim with the righteous community of friends and a good gathering and a good community, shaitan has more difficulty attacking. So stick with the jama'ah of Muslims. Stick with the community of Muslims, and it will protect you in this journey of that we're working our way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, remember, on the Day of Judgment, shaitan will give his final farewell address. Ibn al-Qayyim calls it the khutbah of shaitan. Ibn al-Qayyim calls it the khutbah of shaitan. And I have given a whole khutbah about the khutbah of shaitan. You can listen to it. But what is the khutbah of shaitan? One line, memorize it. One phrase, memorize it. Shaitan will say to the followers of his who are heading to Jahannam, because the followers will say, oh Allah, it's shaitan's fault. And I said to you, you cannot blame shaitan on the Day of Judgment. That's not going to work. Shaitan will speak to his own followers. And shaitan will say to all of them, وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن سُلْطَانٍ. I had no power over you. I didn't force you. You weren't my puppets. I didn't force you that whatever I said you had to do. وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن سُلْطَانٍ. But I only did one thing. إِلَّا أَن دَعَوْتُكُمْ. I invited you. I called you out. وَسْوَسَ زَخْرَفَ. I gave you the tactics. I invited you. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. You were the ones who listened to my invitation. You believe my false promises. You listen to what I'm doing. So Shaytan says, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي. Stop blaming me. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Blame yourselves. This is a part of the khutbah of Shaytan. Brothers and sisters, in this life, we have the capacity to repel Shaytan, to fortify ourselves against Shaytan. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We are better than this. Allah created us to be pure and good, and Shaytan is misguiding us. So my advice to myself and all of you, rise up to the potential that Allah wanted for you and Allah created you for. Cut off from Shaytan. Turn to Allah. Give up the lifestyle that is an evil lifestyle. And inshaAllah ta'ala, in defeating Shaytan, and in overcoming Shaytan, that is how we will return to the abode where we were before Shaytan caused our mother and father to be expelled from it. Allahumma inni da'in fa aminu. Allahumma la da'a fi hadhihi al-yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la daynan illa qadayta, wa la maridan illa shafayta, wa la asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman, wa la taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu. Rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wal muslimin. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فاشغله بنفسه وجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكة يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب. Thank you.